human nature. So let me read this. As adolescence progresses, the importance of peer relationships increases. This is taken from Child Development, 2008. I need to cite that. Importance of peer relationships increases dramatically. Teens spend proportionately less time with family and more time with friends, and these peer relationships become more intimate. Further, peer relationships provide an important context for learning and developing interpersonal skills that are necessary for both friendships and romantic relationships later in life. Ooh.
What?
Later in life or now in life?
What?
I'm kidding. So we're going to take our verse from Matthew 6, okay? Matthew 6, 25. So for those of you who've read or maybe you've heard, but Christ is really, really concerned with the heart, matters of the heart. Who are we inside? Who are we as people? As opposed to how we look or how we act in front of others. He wants to know what our substance is at our core. What kind of people are we? Let me just talk about anxiety, because a lot of that stems from anxiety or slash insecurity, right? We all have insecurities. So let me just read this verse from Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So he actually mentions it here. Like, why are you worried about your clothing? Why are you worried about your appearance? Why are you worried about your attitude? Or I'm not with this crowd, or I'm not with that crowd. He's emphasizing in Matthew 6:25, matters of the heart. He cares about what's inside of us as people. And ultimately, that's what makes us real and genuine people. And if people can't see that about you, then I think there's something wrong with that. Because ultimately, this will shine through, I believe. That's what happened to me. Who you are as a person, and being yourself, and being real, and true to yourself, will shine through. And people will respect you for that. So just some quick background on chapter 6. The second of three chapters containing Matthew's telling of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was one of Jesus' great sermons of the New Testament. And Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, Matthew 5, 1 through 2. And the reason it is known as the Sermon on the Mount, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. So it is one of the most famous sermons that Jesus ever gave. So before the Sermon on the Mount, he gave what was known as the Beatitudes, or a series of blessings. You may have heard of blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. So what he was basically saying by blessed are the meek, or blessed are the meek, so meek, what does that mean to you? So is Christ saying that God wants me to be weak? God wants me to be inferior? What he actually means there is by being meek in character really basically means I have humility and the patience to not get angry or upset or lash back at my brother and sister. Having the patience and the strength to be able to control that and withhold that anger and not get upset, that's what he was talking about. He's talking about having control, meekness. That's what he means, not by being physically weak. The Sermon on the Mount clarifies and shows that man has no righteousness that can survive the scrutiny of God. Hence, Jesus expands on this, pointing out that even good deeds must be motivated by sincerity in order to be truly righteous. In other words, it's not by our works that we're saved, but it's not by our deeds. So I'll just read this to you. So chapter 6, verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And he's talking about prayer here in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before. Verse 9, then this is how you should pray. This is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'll finish it out. Chapter 14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. He's talking about fasting here. Verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 19, do not store for yourself treasures on earth. He's talking about accumulating wealth, where moths and vermins destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermins do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm going to move on for that. So when I say that is the word of God, and then can we respond? Praise be to God. Okay. This is the word of God.
Praise be to God.
So before I get into this, so who are the hypocrites? The hypocrites were the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the leaders of the Jewish leaders at the time. And so they had a lot of customs and a lot of rituals. And so they, you know, he was talking about praying in public. Oh, I want to make sure that everybody sees me while I pray. And look at me, I'm raising my hands and I'm just praying out loud in public. Look at me. Don't I look great? Don't I look so holy because I'm praying in public? And so they were doing all these things, you know, in public for everybody to see, for all to be shown. So they're basically just making a public display. But that was a norm at the time. Isn't that kind of also related to, well, these crowds kind of act this way, and this is kind of the norm at school. So this is kind of the mold that, do I have to kind of fit into that mold? Do I have to kind of fit into that mold? Now, he is talking about hypocrisy, which means that it's not really our outward appearance or what we do in terms of our actions, because in that way, they were almost trying to please people. They're trying to please people because they're out in public doing it in front of everybody for all to see. But in actuality, Christ says what? He says, what does your heart tell you? Focus on your heart. Remember, he's concerned about our heart. And so he says, pray, instead of praying out in public like that, I just want to know what's really inside your heart. Just talk to me, man. Talk to me one-on-one. Lock yourself in the room or just go wherever. And I'm here. I'm here to listen to you. You don't have to be in a big crowd. You don't have to be at church. You don't have to be at retreat. Just in your room. I'm here listening at every time, all times. And I want to hear from you. It's that easy. He wants to hear from us that way. Mano-a-mano, just one-on-one, is a personal relationship. He only cares about personal relationship. Anxiety plays into this, right? Anxiety. So verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So do not worry. Having us continue to think about like, oh man, they're wearing this gear and they're wearing that, and you know, they're into this and they're into that, and it just piles up unnecessary anxiety. And so what Christ is encouraging us in verse 25 is, let's not worry about those insignificant things. That's not really what is important here. So first point is, stress and anxieties of worry consume our hearts, and it actually prevents us from embracing Christ's kingdom promises. So these are all basically distractions. He's saying it's distractions. Of course, food is important, which means like worrying about what I'm going to eat, like, or like when I can have the shin ramen later, right? Mm. Or like when I can eat the, what is that, the Ruffles back there? I know you guys are thinking about it, right? Because you miss, like, pizza's like sometimes it's good, but it's not, you know, pizza every week. Food is important. Clothes are important. We need to clothe ourselves. But what's really, truly important above all this is that if we let that become the topic and the premise of our daily thoughts, every day, like, this is consuming us. And it's not just like what we wear or what we eat, but it's our activities too, right? If we get so caught up in, oh, I have to be like first chair of this, I have so much pressure, or I gotta do this and, you know, this or that, and to excel, I have to constantly excel. These can become like our idols as well. Do you know what I mean by idols? When you place an idol is like an image, right? Or like a statue. You know, we place our worship and we place our hope in this statue or this image, this graven image. That's an idol. So these things that we strive for that are insignificant, it's important, yes, but it doesn't supersede our relationship and dependence on Christ. Remember, he wants to know what our heart says. He wants to speak to our hearts. Yeah. So these are distractions, and it can potentially distract away from what the relationship that God wants to have with you. The relationship that God wants to have with you. Okay, so in 19, I'm old, man. I'm 51, okay? I'm old. But I was born in Hawaii, but I moved to Texas. Anybody live in Texas? Elder Jeff, he knows. Like, I was an object of racism, okay? Like, it's cool to be Asian now, but it wasn't cool back then. My son, he's like, man, you're so, I see him as like, you're so lucky, man, because like, he was pretty popular at North Creek. And I was like opposite of that. In 1985, in junior high, my brother and I were the only Koreans. And naturally, when we played Cowboys and Indians, like, so at that time, Dallas had white, Hispanic, and black. But my brother and I, we played the Indians always. Cowboys and Indians. So it wasn't like racism, it wasn't about like between black and white and white and black. It was all of them against us. It's like, Korean Lives Matter, like, that, what does that mean? That didn't even exist. What does Korean Lives Matter? Just play the Indian. So we got discrimination from black, white, and Hispanic. And as a result of that, because I got so insecure, I never ever dreamed in my entire life that I would be sitting up here speaking in public, let alone, you know, in front of like thousands of people before. I never dreamed that in my life, because when I was 12 and 13, I had so much of this hate, unnecessary hate, targeted and projected at us. And so all of junior high, I had a stutter. And I think that developed because of my insecurity. I couldn't speak. That's literally me when I was 12, 13 years old. Deeply ingrained low self-esteem until I moved to here, to Seattle, in 1989. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of people that look like me. So that was pretty cool. It's the first time I saw so much diversity. But here's the gist of that story. I wanted to fit in so much. I wanted to have acceptance. I wanted to be accepted so badly, so deeply, just to make friends, that my brother and I did everything that we could to try to fit in with like the popular cliques, right, at the time, which back then in Texas were the Ropers. Cowboys. I'm not joking. So we actually got like Justin boots, and like they're basically like boots, cowboy boots, and like they had this one look, and like Wrangler jeans. It had to be Wrangler jeans. And then this belt buckle is like braided. And it's like this huge like brass plate belt buckle. Some of you may even had like a rattlesnake. It was weird, it was super weird. And then like if you wanted to, like you could wear. So we looked really weird, okay? Like two Korean guys trying to be like, these are the Korean cowboys. Like, what are you guys doing? But that's, you know, we just wanted it so bad. But it got to the point where, okay, we started to get accepted after a while. And so we made some white friends, okay? We made some white friends. But I was projecting that hurt that I felt to other newly immigrant Koreans that were coming over. I was Korean, and I was making fun of my own people. It's like, look at those fobs, man, those FOBs. And they're like, my white friends are like, wait, aren't you Korean? I was like, oh yeah. But I had so much pain, like I had to project that and release that somehow. I took it out of my own people, man. You know? So I said it before. Here's the driving point. God wants us to be genuine by focusing on what we have, who we are on the inside. I wasn't able to discover who I was because I was so caught up in wanting to be fit in and look like my friends and look like everybody else and act like everybody else. But it wasn't until I got to UW where I realized that, oh my gosh, I'm taking Asian Americans 206 and I've got KP now, man, Korean pride. But for the first time, Asian American study, that's when I realized like, who I truly was, I'm proud to be bicultural. I'm both American and I'm both Korean. I'm both bicultural. And so this is who I was on the inside. I really wanted to adopt. I really wanted to embrace my culture. And I wanted to be proud to be Korean. Now I had an opportunity to do that. And so verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There's a verse in Romans 12, 2. This just says it straight up, right? It just tells you point blank. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that the testing, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So he's saying, he's reemphasizing here, right? Do not be conformed by the world to the world. Do not be conformed. Do not follow what the current popular masses are doing at the time. But keep your eyes set on me and focus on me and pray to me. I want to hear from you one-on-one, in person, in private. So we talked about this. Who were the hypocrites? So the Israel's religious leaders, Matthew 5:20, he has already shown the emphasis on outward actions and not inner attitudes could lead to a false sense of true spirituality and faith. Thoughts, attitudes, and feelings in our heart are much of part of righteousness as words and deeds. This was a major theme of chapter 5. So it's not so much what we do and how, what we, our actions. Oh, I serve at church. Oh, I'm in praise. Oh, I do this and I do that at church. And oh, I go Friday night worship. I go prayer, early morning prayer every day. He's not saying that's almost akin to the Pharisees doing that in public. And what is truly behind, and that's all good. We're not saying don't do that. If you know, the fact that you're doing that is great. But at the same time, our actions, what we feel, and our thoughts inside are just as important. Just as important as those. So let me summarize. God is more concerned with the actions. Right here, before you go to sleep tonight, God is more concerned with the actions of our hearts and minds as opposed to outwardly appearance and actions. In this way, we can take encouragement by knowing that not only can we gain confidence in knowing that God is caring for our needs, but also knowing that he is there to provide our emotional needs and needs of security as well. Boom! Right there. Do you see that? Read that. Point two. In this way, we can take encouragement by knowing that not only can we gain confidence in knowing that God is caring for our needs, but also knowing that he is there to provide our emotional needs and needs of security as well. He's your best friend. Jesus, man. He's your best friend. He's your posse. He's in your clique. He's in my crowd. Y'all still use clique? Yeah. No? Okay, sorry. Jesus is your best friend, man. He's there for your support, your emotional support, your anxieties, your fears, your insecurities. You can cast that upon him. You can cast that upon him and say, Christ, I give this all to you. I commit it all to you. And I pray that you lift it from my shoulders. He's like your best friend. He's there to do that for you and listen to you. And he wants to do that for you. God is asking us to be real, not by showing off, but rather by focusing on him one-on-one. This is a summary of what we talked about. Final point. Our focus should be upward, centered, and everything else will fall into place. Verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly fathers know that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its trouble, enough trouble of its own. Seek first the kingdom, casting our glare to the Lord, first and foremost. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As I said, we can turn to the Lord as our best friend, as our partner, for emotional support, emotional healing, feeling of love and acceptance. Nobody's going to love you more than Christ. Nobody. You guys know what he did, right? The whole reason why we're here, why like church exists. Because we had already committed the original sin, and we were condemned to damnation, right? But instead of starting over, wiping the slate clean and starting over, somebody had to pay that debt. So this whole thing while we're here, church, retreat, because why? Because of love. Your best friend. Your best friend you'll ever have. He paid that debt. So only way that could be done is there has to be bloodshed. God came down in human form as a son, and he sacrificed his son. Now it's paid off. This is all about love while we're here. This is, should be our focus. Not about what the Pharisees or what the world says is important. But he wants to love you, and he wants us to love back. It's a two-way street. That's why he's saying, come to me. I want to hear from you one-on-one in personal prayer in a relationship. Well, okay. So, thank you for listening, and let me just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for for us to be all gathered here. And Lord, thank you for just giving us some time and a break from school and from work and even parents. Lord, thank you for giving us a break from parents for once. And our teachers, oh my gosh, thank you for giving us a break. Just give us 3 days away from them, please. Just give us some time to breathe. So this is our time, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you so much for loving us so much that you sacrificed your own son so that we may live. That's the ultimate form of love, is to lay down one's life for somebody else. You're the best friend that anybody could ever have, and it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world says is important, or what the status quo is, or what we need to do to be popular, or with the in crowd. Lord, all we care about is that we focus on your love and not these distractions. And when we focus on your love, then that's when these blessings will start to flow. That's when understanding will start to happen. That's when anxiety can start to dissipate and fade away. And that's where fears of acceptance can start to fade away, because it's no longer significant anymore. And that's where depression and all of these different symptoms, Lord, I study mental health counseling as well. All of these symptoms, Lord. Because I think a lot of times we need a friend. And we need somebody to just listen to us. And somebody to just understand where we're coming from. So thank you for being that person. And thank you that we can turn to you anytime for this. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you guys. So we're going to have homework. No teachers, but... It's not a major thing, homework, just something casual. But we're going to cover 6 topics, and after kind of each, so stay in your groups, you guys are going to have your groups. But instead of tonight, instead of having a small group, so after each, I give each message, then if we could break off into small groups with our leaders and have a conversation, or discuss, I'll give out small group questions. But tonight, I brought some posters and markers. Why don't we spend about 30 minutes? Come up with a... Draw your group logo. Come up with a, a group name and a group logo. And then also come up with a group... cheer, okay? Maybe we don't have to do the cheer. But a group logo and a group name, okay? And then like a group... chant, I guess, yeah, or like a cheer. Not a dance, but a cheer. So, and the theme is going to be pick a character in the Bible. Yeah. But then mix it up with Marvel, too. Okay, got it? So, character of the Bible, but then mix it up with Marvel. Okay, so let's break up. There's cables right here. And here's posters in the big room. And markers. So you guys can break up into your groups here, and then. Yeah.
Hey, Aaron, if I'm going to ask you a question.